Welcome back to TechNet Radio. IT Pro Guru Dan Stoltz welcomes Senior Product Marketing Manager Kenan Owens and Senior Program Manager Stephen Barron as they discuss why systems management is such a concern for IT organizations and how private cloud environments fit into this equation. In part one of our episode, they tackle systems and applications monitoring with the help of System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager. Dan, the mic is yours.
Greetings and welcome. Today, you're here on Guru Versus Radio with Dan Stoltz, and I have as my guest Kenan Owens and Stephen Barron. Greetings, gentlemen. Maybe we can start off with just a quick introduction of who you are, what you do.
Great. My name is Kenan Owens. I'm a senior product marketing manager here at Microsoft, focusing on the private cloud, specifically the infrastructure and managing the underlying physical hardware for the private cloud.
I'm Stephen Barron. I'm a program manager on the Virtual Machine Manager team. I focus mainly on our services and application deployment investments in VMM 2012, but also have a hand in our intelligent placement algorithm, dynamic optimization, and our monitoring integration with Ops Manager.
Outstanding. Excellent. What we want to do, I think, today is a little bit of a deeper dive into System Center Virtual Machine Manager. But before we do that, I want to touch on, what is private cloud and why management is such a concern. So maybe we can just kind of give us a 45-second overview of, answering those questions.
Sure. The private cloud is basically taking all of your infrastructure and being able to manage it in such a way that you can provide self-service to your customers. It's very elastic and scalable, and you really know what's happening with that underlying infrastructure. It's metered for use. So by using System Center 2012 and building that on top of your foundation, whether it's Windows Server or any other hypervisor, you can really provide this this environment for your customers to be able to very easily orchestrate and automate tasks that today they may be doing a lot manually.
Okay, wonderful. So, Stephen, maybe you can share with us the vision or focus that the System Center Virtual Machine Manager team had whenever they created the 2012 version.
Sure. So we had just a broad range of investments across Virtual Machine Manager. Lots of our customers have actually remarked that it seems like a brand new product. We should have had a new name for it, but we stuck with the existing name just for continuity purposes. We made a lot of investments in the infrastructure side of the house, first of all. So in the past, we've always managed Hyper-V and VMware environments. In 2012, we introduced support for managing Citrix Zen Server environments as well. Other areas of Virtual Machine Manager, some of the broad investments were around private cloud. So in the past, in Virtual Machine Manager, from an admin perspective, everything was done in host groups, where you essentially organized your physical fabric, right, according to certain criteria that the admin decided on, such as maybe geographic. So maybe I had a host group for Redmond hosts and a host group for my New York hosts. And self-service users, even in the past, didn't really have visibility into the fabric, as it were. And in 2012, we introduced this concept of a private cloud to give end users a target sort of deployment environment for themselves while still abstracting away those fabric resources that they don't really care about. So one example is networking. Typically, when a self-service user is going ahead and deploying a virtual machine or a collection of virtual machines, they don't really care that the virtual machine is on subnet X, on VLAN XX. What they care about is, well, that machine is connected to the internet, or that machine is connected to the corporate network. So what we did was put in place a series of abstractions, if you will, to allow the self-service user to essentially describe the requirements of their virtual machine or virtual machines. And the admin is able to map those friendly incarnations of those objects down to the actual physical fabric under, underneath the covers, if you will. Another broad investment we made was in services, which is clearly something that's near and dear to my heart. And if you think about in the past, VMM was great at deploying single virtual machines and managing single virtual machines. But typically, business applications and distributed services that are put out there in the environment don't really want to run on one machine, right? So if you think about a typical two- or three-tier application, for example, there's probably a load-balanced set of web servers running a front-end portion of that application, maybe a couple mid-tier servers running business logic, and finally a data tier that's probably running SQL Server. And together, all those virtual machines contribute to delivering that business service out to the to the business, right, to the end users in the organization. So we made a really deep investment in what we call services, and I think we're going to go a little more into depth on those later on in the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go really pretty deep on services and make that really a core part of this this quick training. But before we go there, you piqued my interest on Fabric a little bit because, you know, we IT pros have heard this term Fabric a lot. And, you know, and I get, the compute, the networking, the storage, the fundamentals of what Fabric is. Maybe you can share just quickly why call it a Fabric. You know, I guess my understanding is the Fabric, you know, once it's put in this Fabric format, if you will, it doesn't really matter where it physically sits. Is that true? And, you know, is that a correct understanding, or how would you articulate that?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think the reason that we kind of separate out Fabric versus cloud, right, whether it's private cloud or even public cloud, goes back to what I was just talking about, is the folks that are actually deploying virtual machines, managing services, deploying applications, they don't care about which particular host or hosts their VMs are running on, right? They care about the performance that their VMs are delivering while contributing to that business service. But again, they don't care that this VM is on this particular host, and they don't care that this VM is on this particular subnet and this particular VLAN. And to go further and tie it into storage, they don't care that this VM's VHDs happen to be on this particular SAN or this particular SAN. What they care about is, well, my web servers have very little I/O, they're pretty stateless, so they don't really need to pay for high-end storage, right? What that means to them is the admin can go out and define in VMM classifications of storage like gold, silver, bronze, or fast, medium, slow, what have you. Mm-hmm. And again, the self-service user doesn't know that, oh, I have to be on this particular EMC SAN or I have to be on this particular HP device. What they care about is my web servers don't need gold storage. I don't want to pay for gold storage for my web servers because they're not I/O intensive. So they can have bronze storage. But my data tier, my SQL server, that thing needs really fast I/O. It needs dedupe. It needs, right, all those advanced features. It needs gold storage. So the admin who has that deep Fabric knowledge, right, they're able to not only set up their Fabric with VMM, but also assign these friendly classifications, if you, these friendly abstractions, so that they don't have to be bothered with these requests about, well, this VM that I'm deploying is going to need really fast storage, so you tell me which exact SAN I should request that it be on when I go through and fill out my request for a virtual machine. It's no. The Fabric admin is able to, again, classify and aggregate their storage, and the self-service user is able to, in friendly terms, describe the requirements of a VM or a collection of VMs that they want to deploy without getting the admin involved, right? The admin can set everything up, and then that sets the stage for self-service where, again, the SSUs understand the general requirements of their VMs, and they're able to deploy them very quickly, and the admin, the Fabric admin, can rest assured that those VMs are going to get the right types of resources to satisfy the requirements expressed by the person deploying the VM.
So how important is this term Fabric in the future? I noticed that I'm starting to hear that term even with Windows Server 2012 now. Is that the key to the future, or is that just something that, you know, another term for something we've already had for decades?
Oh, I think it's, we've always called the underlying infrastructure one thing or another, right? In the past, we probably called it servers, we called it network, we called it storage, and really it's the collection of those underlying physical resources that make up the Fabric. And I think that still the term Fabric is useful because it gives us a common definition of what we're talking about, right? Not only in terms of documentation, but when we're expressing ideas to one another, and when the IT pro is learning about VMM or reading blog posts, it gives us just a common terminology. The same thing with cloud, right? There's been tons of definitions of cloud, and we try to be pretty crisp on what we mean by a private cloud so that we have at least a common language that we're all speaking when we're talking to one another.
Sure, excellent. So let's drill down a little bit into templates. And maybe before we do that, I know Microsoft has made some pretty significant enhancements with templates. But I'd like to discuss or start the discussion by defining what an application is in terms of Virtual Machine Manager, and then maybe drill down into how those applications are packaged and then deployed.
Sure. So applications for us exist in a number of different formats, and we have what we call sort of first-class application support, and then we have another framework that we've introduced to capture everything else that's not first class. And I'm going to get to the application question in just a second, but I do want to start with the template discussion because it will lead us into what we mean by applications. So VMM has had virtual machine templates, right, VM templates for a number of years now. And VM templates are great. And they're great for repeatedly and reliably deploying the standalone virtual machines into an environment, right? And if you think about a VM template, it's really made up of three types of things. One is, well, one or more virtual disks that are going to power the VM. A hardware profile, which just as it sounds, describes the hardware characteristics of that VM, how much memory is it getting, how many CPUs, and so forth. And finally, what we had was what we called a guest operating system profile. And that really was to easily specialize Windows, right? So you're generally going to start with a sysprep disk of Windows, and you always want to set certain common properties about that operating system, like, well, what's the computer name going to be, and what's the local admin password going to be, and is there a product key involved? So templates were great for defining all of that and then deploying VMs. What templates were not good for in the past were deploying collections of VMs that are related. So again, if you think about that three-tier application that we discussed earlier, templates were not good for that because you can only deploy one machine at a time. The second big limitation with VM templates, and this will lead us into applications, was that guest OS profile was really about the range of things you could do inside the guest in terms of configuring that guest. And if you were brave, you could try to leverage that GUI run once functionality to maybe execute a script or two after provisioning, but that was really about it. And if you think about an operating system like Windows Server 2008 R2, if you deploy a base OS of that operating system and don't configure even any roles and features, for example, well, it's virtually impossible for that workload to be doing anything useful in the environment, right? I mean, even to make it a file server requires that you enable the file services role in Windows. So with VMM 2012, we came up with a new type of template and a series of new profile types. And these are all about doing rich in-guest configuration inside of virtual machines, both at deployment time and at update time, and also to allow you to model those distributed business services that consist of more than one machine. So we introduced this concept of a service template. And a service template will allow you to model a single VM, just like you did in the past with a VM template, or you can model different types of VMs that should all be deployed and managed as a unit. So if we think again about that three-tier application, you may have a web tier that has a certain hardware configuration, a certain OS configuration, and a set of applications that you want to install. You may have that mid-tier that has, again, a different hardware config, a different OS config, and perhaps a different set of applications. And finally, that data tier that has yet a third type of hardware config, different OS config, and again, additional applications that are particular to that that tier of the application. So service templates will, A, let you model multiple machines, deploy them as a unit, delete them as a unit, stop and start them as a unit. But more importantly, via service template, you can engage in very rich in-guest configuration that we make available in VMM 2012. And that functionality is only available when you deploy from a service template. So the types of things that we support doing in-guest are, A, configuring Windows Server roles and features, right? Because that's sort of key. It's any application you're going to deploy inside of a VM in all likelihood has some dependency on a particular set of roles and features to be enabled within that VM. So roles and features is one. And then we have support for three what we call first-class application types. One of those is Microsoft Web Deploy, which is a very popular format for packaging up IIS sites. The second one is Server App V. So if you're familiar with Client App V, Server App V is a derivative of that technology, but geared more towards packaging up server-based applications. So maybe you have an application that is web-based, but it also has some associated NT services. It has some registry settings, some files that go with it, and ACLs. You can package that all up into a portable package with Server App V. And finally, SQL data tier applications, so DAC packs, which represent the model and the schema of a database and can be deployed to SQL Server 2005 and above. Now, the reason we call those first class is that you can actually drop them into a VMM library, and we'll refresh in the properties and the metadata about those packages. So we actually understand that a web deploy package is a web deploy package, not just some arbitrary file on the file system.